The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Be Live Off the Record with Chicago Line is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. If you're calling from the Family Islands, you can call on 242-300-570. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. Wow. So let me deal with the big elephant in the room. As many, if not all of you know, last week I lost my mom. Yes, the lady I would often say is listening on Cable Bahamas channel 969. By far closest human being on planet to me, and I'm going to talk about this for a couple of minutes, and then I want us to move on. I want to say to you that I called my mother's name. I pointed to my mother at the beginning of each one of these shows for the last several years, because I came fully to grips with the fact that my mother was aging, and that in the scheme of human life, one never knows. So I wanted to invest as much time and effort and energy as did my others and my sisters, for the most part, in connecting with her on multiple levels in multiple ways, so that when that day came, if she had to pass and pass before me, I could be as full of my mother as I could possibly be. And so every time I made mention of that, I called her almost after every show, visited her as often as I could, because I was wanting to honor her in those delicate, golden, perhaps final years of her life, as much as I could possibly do. And my mother left this earth like a champion, with great dignity, with most grace, and with an exceptional courage, and even in the most unique of ways. My mother had, her eldest son was born on September 21st. Her eldest daughter on September 19th. Sometimes I get those two mixed up, so forgive me if I do. But my mother was pronounced dead on September 20th. My mother had conversations with one of her siblings about when she would go. Was insistent to her friends and us before she left. No, y'all might have heard me talk about this before. but it's for real this time. I am going. She was ready. And she was accepting of the reality and fact of that. But even in the very final days, she could sit up, have conversations about Bahamian politics, about American politics, about life and love and faith and family, and went out like a champion. I've said to people that if there is a way to go, for the most part, I would want to go the way my mother went. I want to thank all of you who expressed condolences, wishes, prayers. I want to thank you for that. Seriously, I'm grateful on behalf of my family. I want to thank you for that. My mother will be funeralized at Christ the King Church in Freeport, Grand Bahama on October 18th at 10 a.m. As a former senator of Lyon State on the 17th of October in New Providence. And we, as a family, are having we emotionally are having to deal with a huge loss in our lives. That is a fact. But we are pulling together, working through it to honor her in her death as we did in her life. And so I want to thank you all again. And seriously, if I could beg your indulgence, if we can for the show, just for the time, simply move on to this stuff we could talk about today. I would be very grateful for your indulgence with that. So, so I was asked about and thought about Standard & Poor's comments about the Bahamas' economy, and thought that we could talk about that and perhaps be able to provide some understanding clarity where needed on the issue. Standard & Poor's is an international credit rating agency. So if you're an investor and you have money to lend, so you've saved some money, you've built up some wealth, and you have monies you're prepared and willing to lend out, the biggest question you would face in lending that money out is the person to whom I am lending my money a good credit risk? Meaning, how likely am I to be paid back from that person? That's really what credit risk is all about, the likelihood of being paid back. Credit risk is not abundantly about falling on collateral, which is what a lot of Bahamians would tend to say, oh, I have collateral, I have land. Well, the fact of the matter is collateral means that you fail to pay a loan, and that's the last thing that a institution or an investor lending wants to have you do. They don't want you to fail so that they have to become a realtor to sell your land. They want you to pay because in your payment, one, they get their money back, and two, they get the interest earned that they are seeking to earn on the lending. So they're more concerned about being able to pay back. And so it takes information to assess a person's creditworthiness. You got to be able to get into their background, to know their financial standings, to know what they're doing, to know what activities they are in that may impact upon their ability to continue in their business. It takes a lot. And a lot of people don't have that time. A lot of investors don't have that time. So what happens is credit rating agencies step in and they say, you know what? We'll collect the information. We'll analyze the information. We'll come to know these potential borrowers. And then we'll rate them for you. And then you can use that rating to make a judgment about whether you're going to lend to them. Well, these potential borrowers could be companies, or they could be countries. In the case of countries, they're called sovereign borrowers. And so the Bahamas, like other countries in the world, borrow monies from local entities, insurance companies, banks, private investments, investors who are perhaps in institutional funds and like pension funds and stuff. So they borrow from them, and then they borrow from international lenders. But they could be international insurance companies, they could be international banks and so forth. And so these lenders rely to some degree, to a heavy degree, on what these credit rating agencies judge as the credit worthiness of a company or a country. In the case of Standard & Poor's and them, the Bahamas actually invited them to assess its credit worthiness. You know, this wasn't that they just decide, I'm going to come and do this for you. The Bahamas, when Sir William Allen was the Minister of Finance, said the Bahamas needs to have a transparent and objective assessment of its credit worthiness that will lend to its ability to borrow in the marketplace and give people a better opportunity to assess itself so that it could get better terms if its credit worthiness reflects it, and invited them to come and do so. And that's what they have been doing since the mid-90s for the Bahamas. And so on an annual basis, they take a look at you. Looking at what? They look at your debt levels. They look at your deficit trending. They look at your debt growth rate and trends. They look at your economic outlook, because your economic outlook essentially says what is likely in terms of your ability to pay in the future. And they look at all these, among other things, and then they say, okay, yeah, you are a AAA, or you are AA-, or you are B+, or BBB+, or whatever their particular scale of rating is. And that says to the world, here is what the Bahamas is. It's either in a good stead or bad stead, or it's in getting in better stead or getting in worse stead. And so people then get to make a judgment on you like that. Not in these days so much as to say, I'm not going to lend to the Bahamas, but they make a judgment about how they're going to price what they lend to you. So if you have a great credit rating and lots of people want to lend to you, they might say, well, you know, these people could get borrowings from anywhere, so I'm going to charge them 4% interest. But in bad times, in the bad circumstances, no, you ain't that good a risk no more. I need 9%, 11%, 12% interest if I'm going to lend to you. And so that's the challenge when it comes to these rating agencies, is that a bad report for them can increase your cost of borrowing, which can increase the amount of money you pay in interest, which could take monies from other things you would like to be doing with government revenue, because you now have to service your debt. And your debt servicing now is at the order of $600 million on an annual basis or thereabouts. Certainly the highest it's been in the history of the country. And that isn't the fault of any one administration. This has been built up over many administrations. So that's Standard & Poor's and what they are and what they do in assessing credit worthiness of countries like ours, as they have been doing now for years. So they had, as they continue to do, some things to say about the Bahamas' economy. And the question is, what did they have to say? What does it matter? Why should I care? Is essentially the questions, right? So here's what I'm going to do, because I want to talk about some of it. It'll take a little bit. Let's take our first break, and then when we come back, we will continue talking about what Standard & Poor's had to say about us in their recent release regarding our credit rating. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. You feel like you've been down,
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Craving something delicious and freshly made? Dunkin' has got you covered all day your way. From savory sausage, egg and cheese to crispy bacon, ham, and even tuna, our sandwiches are made to order just for you. Choose your favorite. Bagels, croissant, toast, or muffin. Whatever you want, we've got it. Whether it's a classic grilled cheese or a hearty club, your perfect sandwich is just a bite away. Dunkin's fresh, made-to-order sandwiches, made all day, every day. Only at Dunkin'. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Bahamas, are you ready?
Keep the Five Alive Music Group, along with Alpha Sounds, present
the best of the best.
Breaking Straight Explosion Reloaded.
This is the biggest one-day all-Bahamian concert of the year.
Featuring KB, D-Mac, Abby,
Mama D,
Van Sean,
Shine 242,
The Falcon,
and more.
Mark your calendars. It's going down November the 2nd
at Super Club Breezes Ground.
Tickets now available at BahamasEtickets.com
or both Beauty Shack locations.
General admission $60.
VIP Skybox and Skypods also available.
For more info, call 394-0819
or email keepthevibealive242@gmail.com.
Experience the magic once again
with more lessons for one night only.
Come party with us November 2nd and best of the best.
Breaking, break, explosion, reloading.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We're talking about Standard and Poor's comments about the Bahamas' credit rating, according to their assessment of things. So what did they have to say? What did they have to say about us? So Standard & Poor's said that, one, your growth, your economic growth will slow to 1.8% from 2.6% in 2024. So in 2023, according to the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, the country's economy grew by about 2.6%. Standard & Poor's says the forecast is that this year, rather than grow at 2.6%, you'll grow at 1.8%, and then they say you return to growth trend thereafter in the next couple of years. Growth trend meaning back to the 2-point-something% that you have been experiencing prior to the pandemic and now in the more normal days after the pandemic. Now, let me say that why is the growth of the economy even important to us? We talk about it all the time, this GDP growth. Or is the country's growth, the GDP growing? Well, growth of the gross domestic product, meaning our national domestic production, you know, what we are doing in the way of producing goods and services, is ordinarily, not always, but ordinarily associated with some good things. So if your GDP is growing, it's ordinarily associated with more jobs being created because more businesses are doing more production, and in their more production, they need more employees, and they therefore hire more.
Everybody.
welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I'm sorry we got interrupted by some technical glitch, but we're talking about what Standard & Poor's had to say about the Bahamas. And I was explaining before we had the interruption that we concern ourselves about economic growth because generally the growth of the gross domestic product of a country is and tends to be associated with some positive things like employment, business expansion, business increased profitability, and these kinds of things. That isn't always the truth. I mean, the case, but it is often the case. And so you see a lot of countries, say practically every country tends to have some focus on whether its gross domestic product is growing or not. Certainly, a negatively trending gross domestic product does not bode well for a country. So we tend to be taken up by that. And S&P has said and indicated that the Bahamas' economy's growth will slow this year compared to last year and then return to growth trend in the next 2 years, which would mean around 2.5% or so. Now, I have to caution us when we look at these things because I often use this expression. There's some things you don't want to be day traders on. And what do I mean by day traders? If you're looking at just one data point and trying to make an assessment of how well off or not well off you are, that could be terribly misleading. If you look at the Bahamas' growth trend over the last 40 years, what you will discover is we grow by 1.8% this year, 2.5% the next year, 1.5% the next year, 2.3% the next year, 2.6% the next year, 1.8% the next year, 1.9% the next year. You will see a growth chart that is up and down, like reading a EKG machine, a recording of people's hearts, where the heart rate all over the place. So it's kind of difficult to just look at any one of those points and say, oh, the Bahamas is doing great, or the Bahamas are not doing great. No, what you tend to want to look at is how things are moving over time. That if you drew a line between the points over time, the straightest line you could, is that line trending upward or is it trending downward? That's really what you would more want to look at than any single point. And this is one of the things that politicians get caught up in is they have a great year. Oh, the economy grew by 3.6%. They go inside the Parliament or the House of Assembly and rave about it. And then the next year when the economy grows by 1.8%, silent as a lamb. Or you try to explain it away. The problem is you're trying to day trade, and that's not good economics, right? You got to try to look at trends and look at what things are likely to do or have been doing over time. And so I see this 1.8%, and it says nothing really much to me, nothing much. If they had said 1.8% this year, 1.5% the next year, 1.2% the next year, then I'm saying, oh, something is not good. But 1.8%, then back up, that doesn't say a whole lot about what the economy is doing. One thing that we have to be aware of is it is growing. The economy is growing. Can I say that again? It doesn't matter who tells you otherwise. The Bahamian economy is growing. 1.8% is not negative 1.8%. That means that the economy in 2024 is projected to be larger than it was in 2023. Even if its rate of growth is slowing, it still is growing. And that's important. It's not contracting. And it will grow again, the forecast is, for the next year. And the forecast is for the next year. That's why S&P says that we have a stable outlook. because you're not they're not calling for a recession, not calling for a contraction in the economy, but for growth, even if slower growth in this 1 year than in the previous year. S&P also said that the Bahamas has below average long-term growth compared to its peers of similar economic development levels. Okay, so I asked the question, who are those peers? Which countries have similar economic development levels to the Bahamas? Now, here we have to be careful, because in the Caribbean region, it depends on what metric you look at. No country in the Caribbean really compares to the Bahamas when it comes to GDP, gross, the GDP per capita, which for the Bahamas stands at about $36,000. The nearest to that would be Barbados, and Barbados's gross domestic product per capita is, let me see, Barbados' GDP per capita is about $15,400. That's half the Bahamas is. So are they Bahamas peers in terms of GDP per capita? No, they're not. Now, if you look at Human Development Index, which is a broader measure of development outcomes for a country, now Barbados is in set with the Bahamas, and so is Trinidad and Tobago, so is St. Kitts and Nevis, so is Malta, so is Antigua and Barbuda, and Seychelles. These are all countries that would be peers of the Bahamas. Now, they say that their long-term growth is higher than the Bahamas on average. Is that true? Well, let's look at it. The Bahamas is growing between 1.8%, 2.6%. Barbados in 2023 grew by 4.4%, is forecasted to grow by 3.1% in 2024, higher than the Bahamas for sure. Trinidad and Tobago grew by 0.7%, less than 1% in 2023, right? That's much slower than the Bahamas, but by 2% in 2024, that's slightly higher than the Bahamas is forecasted to grow. St. Kitts and Nevis in 2023 grew by 3.4%, much higher than the Bahamas, and by 3.6% is forecasted to grow in 2024, much higher than the Bahamas. Malta is grew by 3.5% in 2023 and is estimated to grow by 4.4% in 2024, much higher than the Bahamas in both instances. Antigua and Barbuda grew by 3.9% in 2023 and is forecasted to grow by a whooping 5.8% in 2024, much higher than the Bahamas. Seychelles grew by 2.5% in 2023, slightly lower than the Bahamas, slightly lower, but by 4% in 2024, which is much better, much higher than the Bahamas. So on balance, on average, yes, these countries are having better economic performances than the Bahamas. But we have to be careful. We have to say, are we really comparing in terms of economies, apples and apples, or oranges and oranges? We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line. We'll be back after this break.
Living with a neurological medical condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combines all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I mashed the car. The lady who ran into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on. All you hear is. For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, National Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. When we look at countries that S&P says are at the same development level as the Bahamas, for instance, if you look at the Human Development Index, which is a composite of a number of things that the country might reflect and measure. It includes GDP, it includes educational outcomes, it includes some health outcomes and the like, then we do have some pairs that we could look at because we are all in this 0.8 category or plus category. The Bahamas is at, I think, 8.85 or so, and others are higher merit of 0.9 and so forth. The maximum is 1, okay? So 8.8 out of 1 is a pretty good Human Development Index level, even though you certainly could be better, right? So if we look at these peers, we look at then their economic development. By economic development, we're talking about your resource allocation, how you're using those resources and how those resources manifest both in your industrial activities as well as your income levels, so that are you high income, middle income, or low income, et cetera. All of these countries are middle income countries, right? Barbados, if you look at the economies, you say, well, okay, well, what do their economies look like? What dominates their economies? For Barbados, tourism, financial services, right? They have some commodities like sugar and rum, manufacturing, and agriculture and fishing, are among them. Does that sound familiar when you look at the Bahamas, tourism, financial services, et cetera? What about Trinidad and Tobago? Trinidad and Tobago, dominated by energy, agriculture, manufacturing, export-import, and raw material production. Not quite like the Bahamas as an economy. If you look at St. Kitts and Nevis, tourism, agriculture, light manufacturing, dominated by tourism, that's like the Bahamas. Malta is mostly manufacturing, like toys and textiles and those kinds of things. Financial services, information communication technology is another area for them. Not quite like the Bahamas outside the financial services. Antigua and Barbuda, tourism, financial services, agriculture, like the Bahamas. And so in many respects, among these peers are countries that rely significantly on tourism like the Bahamas does. So if you look at them, you can look at them and say, many of them, and say, well, if they are performing at this level, that's good. Why isn't the Bahamas performing at that level too? But one of the things that you will see with them is their mix of tourism and manufacturing and agriculture is a little, it's different than ours, so that they get more contributed to their economies by manufacturing and agriculture than we do. And so you could say in some ways that they are more diversified than we are, getting greater contributions from those sectors. It isn't that we don't have a manufacturing sector in the Bahamas. We do, both an international and a domestic one. Or agriculture, fishery sector, we have both. They just don't contribute as handsomely or as much to our economic activity as, say, some of these other countries might. And is that the explanation? I can't say that that's altogether the explanation, because this is a very cursive analysis of this stuff, right? S&P just makes the blanket statement that we are below average long-term growth compared to those of similar economic development level in the country. That's their statement. For me, that statement doesn't really matter. It really doesn't matter. What I think the Bahamas ought to focus more on is, what is your potential? Are you realizing your potential? And if you're not, why not? And where do you go from here? That's really the bottom line. Because in this world, you can always compare yourself to somebody else and find yourself better off or worse off. As a matter of fact, there's a quote that says that comparison is the thief of joy. Because every single one of us can find somebody smarter than us, less smart than us, richer than us, less rich than us, right? We can always find somebody who outperforms us or underperforms us. And if you are interested in tickling yourself with some egoic pride, then find somebody who is less off than you. If you are interested in wallowing in self-pity, you could find somebody who is deemed better off than you. There's always that possibility on planet Earth. What is for me more important is there more I can do? Forget anybody else. Is there more I can be, more I can do? Is there something that I'm not fully utilizing? And that's really the story of your economic condition. In my view. Okay? Again, S&P says you have a stable outlook, meaning there's no reason for us to downgrade you. There's no reason for us to upgrade you. You are moving along, holding the line, and so therefore you can stay where you stay. So you're not making any progress with us, and you're not regressing. Now, if you are ambitious, that's not good news. If you want to be better off, that's not good news. But if you are content with your circumstances, then that's good news. You say, I'm not going to be any worse off. And so you happy as a lark, moving right along. The problem for us is this. Well, first let me say, so given the stable outlook, S&P says that it expects that whatever the government needs to borrow going forward in this medium term, short to medium term, that the domestic lenders and multilateral agencies, institutions, are likely to provide that borrowing. So it's saying if the Bahamas has to borrow, it doesn't have much trouble being able to borrow what it needs to borrow. Substantial borrowings have to happen, but as they indicated, it's a decreasing amount of borrowing that has to happen, and that those that borrowing is going to be available through domestic lenders and through multilateral institutions. What are the multilateral institutions? The Inter-American Development Bank, the IMF, under the exceptional circumstances that it did in times past. So those are basically it. I don't know that the World Bank is going to get on your run, because you're not supposed to be in World Bank lending territory, even though I think they did a little something the other day for the Bahamas. I don't know if it's a lending, I don't remember what happened. But in terms of the thing that the Standard & Poor's does do, in terms of rating your credit risk and worthiness, they are saying there's nothing about our report that should put the Bahamas in an adverse condition to borrow, which is good news. Okay? Now, here's the problem with this stable outlook, this return to growth trend, is that growing at 2.5% as we have been doing prior, 2.7% or so prior to the pandemic, and now in the weaning of the pandemic, is that that growth does not really help the thousands of unemployed Bahamians need help. It does not get the help for businesses that they need. It does not spread the level of prosperity Bahamians need to feel more enthused and more animated about their country. It doesn't help young people abroad and at home looking for a reason to find pride and enthusiasm in their country. And that's the big challenge of this modest economic growth that we have, that if we don't find a means for greater, more rapid, more broad-spread, deeper economic growth, we don't cure those ills that are not good. Not good for the ongoing enthusiasm of citizens toward their country's economic prospects. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after this news break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust that you continue to do well and be well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We were talking about Standard & Poor's comments about the economy of the Bahamas. It seems like it gave some people some concern and gave some other people some cause for no concern or celebration. If you ask me, like what it did to me, I tell you absolutely nothing. It didn't reveal anything to me. It didn't surprise me about anything. It essentially confirmed things that any person who is a student of the Bahamian economy, a close observer of the Bahamian economy, would and should know, which is that we are growing. We are growing modestly. That modest growth is something that is better than the alternative, which is not growing, but that it is insufficient to really take us over the hump, which is in a place where we can, where more of our people can be employed, and more of them can be more fully employed, and where more of them can experience growth levels in their wages so that they can better afford the rising cost of living in the country, where the prosperity spreads to more of these islands in the Bahamas so that people can stay home and return home where they have had to leave home because the circumstances weren't sufficient to accommodate their economic needs. And that we are really not in the place we want to be. We weren't in that place prior to the pandemic. We weren't, and if you want me to put it in more political terms, we weren't in that place prior to the change in government. We're not in that place after the change in government because we have not found yet the formula to get to the kinds of economic growth that can make us much better off. We have not found it. We haven't literally been in that space in this country since the 1990s. We have not been in a space since the 1990s where we have been able to cause significant declines in unemployment, much improvements in people's wages, and a broader sense of prosperity throughout the country. And that's what the aim has to be. And so really what it begs is this question. How do you get the Bahamian economy to grow much faster? What do I mean by much faster? Where we can see for several years economic growth higher than 3%. Sustained economic growth higher than 3%. Where we're growing 3%, 3.5%, 4%, 4.5%. Maybe even getting up to levels of 6 and 7%. How do we do it? How can we do it? How will that happen? That's the question. You want to have a conversation with your political leaders, present, future, existing and aspirant? Have that conversation. Say to tell them, Trivago Lang said on his show, that if we are going to really do something to cause Bahamians to feel a general sense of prosperity, to soak up some of this unemployment, especially the substantial unemployment experienced by our young people, and economic prosperity spread across islands, Trivago Lang says we got to find a way to grow this economy by 3+%, getting to levels of 6% where we can. How can we do that? Do you have a formula to do that? Do you have a strategy to do that? Now, let me be clear. This is not easy. This is not simple. I guarantee you that if any political grouping in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, having been in office, could have produced that performance, they would have done so. Why wouldn't they? Because that would be phenomenal. Oh, the level of enthusiasm people would have. You mean I'm making $289 no more? They now paying me $350, $370. I'm making $500 no more. I'm making $600 something. I'm making $700 no more. I'm making $900 something. Because the economy is thriving and has been thriving for years. And now I could go to the food store and look at them old heavy prices and I could actually afford to pay for some of this stuff. But I don't have to compromise my family's health because I have to find ways to cut in costs and therefore I got to buy some of this processed food. That's what people tend to think because the economy is growing and growing robustly. Is there a strategy to do that? Is there a way to do that? Do we know? Do you know? Is the question. It is the way to get your credit rating to begin trending in the opposite direction from the level from what was happening, where you get downgraded year in and year out and year out. Now, we haven't been downgraded for a while. We've been kept at the level we've been getting, but we haven't been upgraded. And so question is, what is the strategy that we have to do that? Do you know? Call me, text me, tell me if you know how to be done. Some of y'all, you call these shows, and you have all the ideas of planet Earth for what these politicians should be doing. And you put a lot of weight on the politician. I don't think that is what the solution is in theory, even though I do believe that there is a significant role that they have to play in that regard, but they are not. There's lots that requires private ingenuity, private industry, private entrepreneurship, and what have you. Lots of it requires that. And then you have to have the government partnering with that innovation and what have you to help get us there. So the question is, what does it take? And you have an interest. Listen to me, folks. First of all, if you're an older Bahamian, and by that, you like me, have children, young children, millennials, and Gen Zs, who they are likely to live in this country or live longer than we do. And let me ask you a question. Would you want them to live under the economic circumstances that you live for the next 10 years of their life? Because the only way that they won't is if we find a way and ways to get ourselves somewhere we are. By the way, do y'all know who owns S&P? Standard & Poor's? So Standard & Poor's was bought by McGraw-Hill. Now, you might know McGraw-Hill because they were involved in publishing. You know, they're publishing books and that kind of stuff. And guess who owns McGraw-Hill? A company called Platinum Equity. Okay, so this is an investing company. They're called Platinum Equity. And Platinum Equity, listen to this, is owned by a gentleman, Tom Gores. He is about, I think he's in his 40s. He's on Fortune's 500 list of wealthiest people. His net worth is about $9.4 billion. He is in his family. Moved from Israel to the United States of America when he was 4 years old. He and his brother are both billionaires, having become billionaires through equity investment. Really, really something story, right? And so they are through S&P and they are in the financial information sharing businesses, and they have the S&P indices and the like that kind of provides information on the movements of stocks and bonds and commodities and the like. And so they are doing very well. And they are among the people who, in doing what they do, drive employment levels, right? Create jobs, create opportunity. And that's the kind of thing that has to happen for us to be able to get more and better results. So What can we do to grow this economy faster? Get more qualitative growth out of this economy. Let me tell you all something. That question there is incredibly important to the quality of life that Bahamians will experience going forward. And if somebody says that they have all the answers, I cannot say they don't. I would be doubtful. But there are answers to this question. And that's the burden that's on us to find out. It's the same burden. Can I say something to you, please? So let's say we believe that the government has to be the lead on solving this dilemma of how to grow the Bahamian economy faster. Okay, so let's say we believe that. So in this instance, the Davis administration, the burden is on them to find a way to get this economy to grow faster. Now, if you look at what has happened since they came to office, that has not happened. Okay, there's no metric you could measure that you could say that has happened. You say, oh, but the cruise numbers have grown. Yeah, that's true. The tourism numbers have grown. That's true. That is very true. But on the thing that we measure in terms of GDP, in real terms, that has not happened. Now, in nominal terms, that has happened. And the Prime Minister tried to allude to this, but I don't know that he made as strong a case as he perhaps wanted to make. But it is true that but for inflation, the Bahamas' economy has had meaningful growth. But for inflation. But you can't dismiss inflation because it does tamper what you might experience as gains. So a person says, oh my goodness, I got another $100. And then they go to the food store and they go, yeah, but this can't even buy what you used to buy for me last month. And so it does temper the enthusiasm you could get from a gain that you thought you had. Okay? So let's say we think that burden falls on the government. In the same way as you, if I asked you right now, are you listening to me right now? You, right there in your office, right there at your workplace, right there in your car, right there in your home, wherever you are, if I asked you today, how difficult, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the most difficult, 1 being the least difficult, how easy is it for you to grow your income? What number would you give me? Let's say how easy it is, how difficult it is. Would you say, Shivago, it's very difficult to grow my income? Very difficult. So I give my 9, 10, 8, 7. You say, no, bro, so. But if you say it's easy, you say 1, 2. Tell me what you would say is the scale of difficulty to grow your own income. And now, I imagine, if you tell me, man, it's easy to grow my income, then, bro, why your income ain't growing more? Sister, right? But I think you will find, as most people find, it is very hard to grow their income. That if they don't get a raise at work, their economic circumstances don't change much. If they don't get a raise at work. So it's very hard. You say, oh, I would like to start a business. Very hard to start a business that can raise your income for you. Why? Because there's lots of competition, lots of people already providing stuff that you think to provide, and they're doing it and been doing it for a long time and trying to outcompete them. And then there's the cost of startup cost, and then there's the cost of maintaining the operations and suffering that loss while you try to build customer base and trying to pull customers away from other people. It's not easy to do. I had a multimillionaire in the Bahamas say to me many years ago, multimillionaire. He said, Shivago, do you know how hard it is to make $10,000? He said, that's very hard to make $10,000. This is a multimillionaire. Well, you think about it. Go make $10,000 right now. Go make $10,000 new dollars. New dollars. Not the money you're going to get paid. Go make $10,000 new dollars. It is very difficult. Not easy at all. Well, just how it is difficult and challenging for you to make those dollars, that's how difficult and challenging it is for a government to make the economy grow. It's not more challenging. Right? And that's why it's easy for the government to raise taxes and harder for the government to grow the economy. Oh, raising taxes easy. That's why the government could spend a lot of time. I mean, any government. I'm talking about any administration. Spend a lot of time talking about fiscal this and fiscal that and fiscal the next thing. Talking about growing the economy. Boy, you got you praying all day long. Mighty God, send us some savior investor or investors. It ain't that easy. It's not that simple. I promise you, had it been, every administration be blowing up this economy for you. Growing up this economy for you. Delighted to do so, knowing the benefits that we have from doing so. But it ain't so simple. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Hey, man. I'm ready. How are you?
I'm good, man. Before you sign calling in, but I always listen in.
Thank you, bro.
Man, I need you to educate me on something. I listen to the United States election, right?
Right.
I know that whatever affects the United States normally affects us, right?
Mm.
Okay, now, if it's a president putting 200 tariffs on everything coming into the United States, wouldn't that be more expensive, more costly for the resident to purchase?
Yes, absolutely it would be.
Yeah, because I listened to my, United States election. I listened to Donald Trump.
Mm.
and he was saying that the John Deere company, because, most people are moving their stuff now, going into Mexico now because it's much more cheaper.
Right, right.
So he was saying that whoever American company go into the United States, to Mexico to do their business, and in order for them to bring their goods back in the United States, he's gonna hit them like a $200 tariff, like talking about the John Deere. So my thing is, if he do something like that, would that be more easier for people to switch over to China to purchase stuff? Stuff is more expensive?
Well, that's a good question, because what as an example, so let's say John Deere's mower is now is $10,000.
Right.
He taxes that 200% duty.
Right.
That means that he would charge $20,000 on that same $10,000 mower when it comes in, so that the starting cost of that to the American seeking to purchase it would be $30,000.
Wow.
So that doesn't stop there.
Uh-huh.
You in the Bahamas want
exactly
a John Deere item.
Yeah.
And you go to the state shopping for John Deere.
Yeah.
You are going to pay that duty, 200%, on top of the duty the government of Ireland can charge you on the $30,000 item.
That's what I was thinking about. I mean, because I, for some reason, I need to feel that's a good business strategy. I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, there are lots of economists, including Republican economists, who warn him that is really not the way to go. But see, he is relying on the ignorance of some people to say, oh, yeah, I'm punishing Mexico. You're not punishing Mexico. Well, here's how Mexico may get punished. Because if the product coming out of Mexico is too expensive, then John Deere may be forced to move from there.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's
right.
The problem. But
it also
could mean, though, John Deere shifts its export target to other countries, too, if the other countries are prepared to pay for it because they are making it cheaper and can deliver it to Germany, to China, and other places cheaper.
Right. Okay, then. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Not a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we continue our conversation. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Cheese at Burger King Nassau has never tasted so good. It's made with 100% flame-grilled beef that's juicier, topped with fresh ingredients as usual, and even fluffier buns. Get a regular Whopper with cheese combo for only $9, including VAT, and enjoy a Whopper that's bigger, better, and tastier. The only place to get your Whopper with cheese combo is at Burger King Nassau, where it's grill time anytime.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp per ad rate. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. You're scared to talk to me today. You could call me, you could text us, you know, maybe some off topic, but you could call text. I have to confess that it was difficult to make the decision to come to today, but I thought it needed to happen too, right? But so, you know, feel free. You can call us on 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259 from the Family Islands, 242-300, 5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Love to hear from you. We were talking about Standard & Poor's comments about the Bahamas and its economy. I always believe that as someone who is a student of economics and a student of the Bahamian economy, I was thinking you'd be hard pressed to give me a surprise about my own economy. You really would, right? I have to also believe that I have such a deeper involvement in my own economy than any outside person that I could probably give them some insights about this economy before they give it to me. So I'm always happy to read the reports from others, whether it's the IMF, the World Bank, IDB, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, always happy because perspective, it's always useful to have. But you have to remember, a lot of times when these same people do analyses of our economy, they're using the information produced within the country. How can they know how much the government borrowed and is seeking to borrow if the government don't tell them? The Bahamas government, they don't have no crystal ball to tell the government of the Bahamas how much they got to borrow. How do they know how fast your economy grows if the BNSI don't tell them? It's your economy. It's your country. We have some callers on the line. Go ahead, callers. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Z. How you doing?
Hey, right here, man. I'm good.
Yeah, happy belated birthday to your only daughter.
Yeah, man. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. I'm sure she appreciates that.
Yeah, and what bugged me is Senator Seymour died on my birthday.
Really?
The 20th of September. You remember I told you last week? It was my birthday is that Friday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Wow.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
But I have another question, like the gentleman earlier. Pipe, the new electricity company was coming in with the government, bringing in. What type of setup they plan to have? They have a water turbine, solar, windmill, or what? What type of setup they coming in with this?
No, but they are not in the generation of power business, you know. No, they are. After the power is generated, they're the ones who are going to get it to your homes and businesses.
No, but I mean, what type? Were they using bunker fuel? BC can set up this big.
But they're in distribution and transmission.
Okay, well, so what I'm trying to find out, right, for the Bahamas, that's what I'm saying for New Providence. Will BPL or Clifton Pier still have that big stack up in the sky and black smoke coming out there after pipe takeover? That's what I like. That's what I say.
Yes, and yes, if they are generating the power the same way, because pipe isn't generating. So let me explain. So they got to generate power.
Right.
Somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And then the power has to get from where it's generated to the households and to the businesses.
Right.
So the people who generate the power aren't going to be the same people who get the power generated from where it's generated to your house and your business. Pike is only in the island grid. Is Island Bahamas Grid, I think is its name, is only in the transmission and distribution part of that.
Okay, well, what I'm trying to say, right? Well, how come our prime minister could go all around the world talking about climate change and getting mad at world leaders when we are still part of the problem, too? How we can still be brushing up black smoke in there and then we go all around the world talking about climate change, man? And you should deal with your country first.
But on the generation side of it, they are working with Shell as an example to produce an LNG plant which produces cleaner.
But that's what I was asking. Yeah, that's what my question. That's what I was asking.
That's Shell, though. That's Shell. That's not Island.
No, but I mean, I don't know who it is. I don't care. But I also know if the New Providence will be producing LNG or wind turbine or water turbine or solar. Pushing black smoke up in there.
The aim is to produce cleaner energy, and so a part of that is LNG. A part of it is supposed to be solar and some other things. So remember,
I'll wait till my country and do that first. Before I get around New York and all over the place talking and I'm really sure. What am I going to vote in 2 years? Then what?
I hear you, brother. I hear you. Thanks, man. Thanks for calling. We got another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Good, man. How are you?
Hi, good. My condolences, sir.
Thank you, man.
Mr. Lang, I think really, you know, based on what you said earlier on in terms of where the growth of our economy comes from, I think we need to concentrate or convene a think tank, like, because we have talented Bahamians scattered throughout the world, you know, and we can bring them home, as previous governments said that they would have done. Sit down, you know, look at our national development plan. What are our natural resources? How can we utilize it? I personally think that the marine resources in our country is under utilized. I think we could do some more exporting. We could develop aquaculture. Aquaculture type thing where people have to go out to sea, and I think that was the purpose of BAMSI, you know. And so we can export more. There was the talk of the cannabis or the hemp industry. I heard of one of the guy was on the radio several years ago, and he talked about the many products that could be made from hemp, you know, that could be grown right here, and so on and so forth. So I think we just need, and I know the government, as a government, it's so many things that the government is focused on. I mean, I think it's trying to do in 5 years that a lot of things get lost. And I don't know, Mrs. Lang, I honestly don't believe it. Sometimes we don't.
So do me a favor. Let's forget the government for 1 minute. 1 minute, right? 1 minute. And let's just take one thing you have spoken about. Let's just take one thing. Let's say hemp. Mm-hmm. Let's take that, right? Forget the government for the moment now. You. Let's take you or your children or somebody. Or you want your children to be a millionaire because they are able to go and make this money selling hemp products. Okay? Because when they become millionaires, they can become millionaires by selling those products and hiring people and what have you. So that's going to grow the economy. True or not true?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We even get the government in it, right? The government ain't in it. This is your child. You have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sell hemp products. What hemp products? This, that, whatever. So let me ask you, forget the government. What does hinder you or your child from doing that?
Well, I mean, sometimes you need the financial resources if you don't have
Fine. Good. No, stick with me. I'm not even trying to trick you. Stick with me. So you say, you know what? We could do that, but we need financial resources. Now, where those financial resources are going to come from? You might immediately say to me, boy, Mr. Lang, you know, he's buying stuff. Let me tell you something. Money ain't no issue. Getting the money is not an issue. Let me tell you what the biggest issue is. This is the biggest issue for every single entrepreneur out there. Biggest issue is proof of concept.
Proof.
You know what I mean by that?
What you mean? I'll
tell you what I mean. See, people telling me, oh, we could sell hemp products. Oh, we could sell marine products. Oh, we could sell orange products. Means nothing to me. Let me tell you what means something to me. How would you define for me that market you can sell to? Tell me where you can sell the millions of products you can sell. To whom? You can say, oh, we can sell them overseas. Overseas, you know, market. Tell me who you can sell them to. Because people buy products. People. Define the people for me.
Mm-hmm.
Define the companies for me. Who are those people that you're going to sell this to? And how you know they can buy it from you? And why, if they buy it from someone else, will they not buy it from you?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to show you something.
Yeah.
I'm trying to show you something. Seriously.
Mm.
Forget the government for the moment.
Mm.
When more and more, and there are Bahamians who are doing this, trust me when I tell you, when more and more Bahamians take on the challenge of defining markets for ideas they believe are so brilliant and really defining those markets, they will see an explosion in their own fortune.
Yeah, well, you know, I do agree that, you know, as part of your business plan, you would need to identify the various markets that you...
I don't want you to undermine this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to belittle this. I am telling you, this is entirely the point.
Mm-hmm.
A big, big point. Because we have all these vague ideas, but who we can sell this harvested marijuana to? Who are we going to sell this harvested hemp stuff to? Who are we going to sell these marine products to? But until we define those markets, once we define those markets, the government is a non-issue unless the government wants to be obstructive to you.
Yeah, but yeah, sometimes, it may be, but I guess if you have the finances.
Man, listen to me. The fact that you have an Atlantis here, the fact that you have a Bahama here, the fact that you have a Kentucky here, the fact that you have a bamboo shack here, all these people have demonstrated that no matter how inefficient, how incompetent the government is, you can grow a business. The fact that Focal is here and Kalina is here and Fidelity is here, they all demonstrate that despite all the challenges you and I say exist in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, it is still possible to grow a business here.
Ms. Lake, I agree wholeheartedly because, I mean, you know, I believe nothing ventured, nothing gained. I believe you know, it's better to have tried and failed than to have not have tried and succeeded. So, I mean, those people who have become multi-millionaires in most instances, they, in some instances, they went out on a limb. You know, they didn't have all the answers.
In some instances, they got help from the government.
But I watch the History Channel a lot, and they talk about how the titans that built America, and how all these products come. And a lot of times, some of these were immigrants, people who came to the U.S. with nothing.
Yeah,
just,
exactly.
And just had an idea, but they, they kept at it. And they, at the end of the day, they became multi-millionaires. So
you know what I'm trying to do for me and you, right? Because I agree with you 100% about what the government has said it would do and should do and can't do and so forth. So 100%, don't disagree with you. But I keep wanting to say to us, there is a power that we can have beyond our limitations that come from looking at what the government isn't doing. Or is doing. That's really the bottom line there. And it is a message I hope I could press through to more and more Bahamians, because there are things that we can do. And I think that once this catches on, that we will have an explosion of economic fortunes that at the end of the day, the government may be a part of it, but the government will not be the story of it.
And Mrs. Lang, I leave it this. Adrian Francis used to say this. I got this quote from him that your network is equal to your network. So in essence, it's you networking. If you hook up with the right people, sometimes all you need is with a good idea.
100%. 100% right.
If you just in the right network, things could happen for you.
Yes, sir. I agree. Appreciate it. Good point.
Right.
So if you are out there listening to this show today, let me tell you something. This is the work you have to do. If you, and I know so many of you. I was just talking to a young lady about the same thing. I said, I know you want more for your life. I know you want to be in a better place. I know this is not where you want to be. And I know that you aspire to greater things. I said, this is your work. This is your job. Not at the moment to be preoccupied with what the government is or is not doing. Even though you examine that as a part of your living in the country and wanting better for the country and wanting to know how you should put your support and whatever, that's a different story. But in terms of your own personal progress, in terms of your own personal growth and development, I'm saying the job you have, listen to me, is to sit down and meditate on that thing you believe is your way out. That's your job. And you can't do that when you're playing all day long this and when you're yapping all day long that. And when your job is to sit down and figure out what your thing or things are that you are going to press toward your success in this world. Figuring it out, if it's a business idea, yes, this is the product, but where's the market for this product? Who's the market for this product? Why do they buy this from me? How will I get them to buy this from me? Why do they buy it from the other people? What are the price ranges that I have to be able to get this market, this to people? All these kinds of things, that's your job. That's the work you have to do. And if you ain't prepared to do that unsexy work with anybody just, you know, looking at you and taxing your brain, get a job and keep your job. Because that can be the sum total of it for you, and not even a problem if you're content with that. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after this break.
Take a step, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality product that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff make Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
The car?
I marched the car. The lady running to me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Wait, why you look so washed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, but today, boss gave us boy a big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance, and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know he's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
Boy, ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Croc Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for these remaining moments of the show. We face a little bit of a conundrum in the country when it comes to our economic growth. You know, both the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister have indicated that there are billions of dollars in approvals of investments for the country. And those are typically foreign investments. Billions of dollars. I think the deputy prime minister said as much as $6 billion. And I think the prime minister confirmed like $6+ billion too. This was the deputy prime minister made a reference to this in a speech to Business Outlook in Grand Bahama. The prime minister made reference to this both in the House of Assembly and on an occasion when he was commenting on what wasn't being done by the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And so they also indicated some $2+ billion in investments slated for Grand Bahama. And with that level of investment, now they only said approved investment. The question is whether those investments have been mobilized, because it's hard to reconcile that you have that level of investment taking place with an economy that's actually slowing in this year compared to last year, and really only getting back to what it was doing for the last couple of years prior to the pandemic, 2.5% growth, if you have this additional set of substantial investment. It is also hard to reconcile the economic performance of the Bahamas against the much touted record tourism inflows that we have, right? We've got like millions more tourists than we had before. But in terms of economic growth, it hasn't translated into that kind of growth. Now, again, if I'm the government, I could argue that's because inflation has tempered some of that growth. Because if you look at the normal growth, you've been at 9% and that kind of thing. But then every government could argue that. Because even if the inflation was at 6%, when the economy was growing at 3% and inflation was at 2%, if you took away the inflation, then the economy would have been growing at 5%. When the economy is growing at 4%, if you took away the inflation, it would be growing at 6%. Every government could make that argument about having better growth if inflation wasn't tempering it. Now, of course, we've had a little bit of an extraordinary inflation in the circumstances, but by the same token, we had some extraordinary growth and the recovery of the economy coming out of the pandemic. So many of the things that we are commenting on in terms of the positive economic growth seem to not be translating into significant improvement in employment levels, significant improvement in people's wages, and improvements in people's general sense of economic well-being. Now, that's not everybody, because there are some people who are doing well, who are feeling the better, and so forth. So you can't dismiss that either. But generally speaking in the country, the metrics that we could look at for the broad performance of the economy doesn't seem to be benefiting as much from what we tout as some historic numbers on the investment and tourism side. We have a text here saying, I'm driving and enjoying your education session. Please continue, and we will try for sure. This text is, good afternoon. My condolences to you and your family and the loss of your mother. I gather that you were close, as you always spoke affectionately about her. May the Lord rest his peace on you as you go through this difficult time. May she rest in peace, heavenly peace. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So we are going to look more profoundly on this question of generating personal growth and economic growth. We'll look at that more closely and look at some things that may be done, may have to be done as we look at it. But so in the end, the Standard & Poor's doesn't alarm me, doesn't excite me, doesn't trouble me, doesn't encourage me. Standard & Poor's basically is registering fairly reasonable observations about the state of play in our economy. And, you know, if you want, you can take some of it as a cautionary note. If you want, you can, you know, take comfort in the fact that, you know, we aren't really registering too much any worse off scenario for ourselves. I was asked by a news reporter whether the government ought to be concerned, and I said, well, if the government of the Bahamas isn't and hasn't and wasn't concerned before now about certain aspects of our economy that troubles the Bahamian population, then, well, if this is something that brings them the concern, then fine. But they ought to have and could definitely have that concern. And I've seen the Prime Minister reflect that concern in some of the comments that he's made about cost of living and other priorities to which they are pointing. So, you know, you've been listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. God bless you. Each fair's life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
Everybody come take.